Alien vs. Predator. Screen Story by Paul W.S. Anderson and Dan O'Bannon and Ronald Shusett. Screenplay by Paul W.S. Anderson. Adapted by Paul Shipton as part of the Scholastic English Language Teaching Readers Series. Copyright 20th Century Fox Film Corporation 2007. Alien vs. Predator. Chapter 1. Weyland's Team. Far away, a satellite travelled through space. A camera on it took photos of our world far below. It sent the information down to a station in Nebraska, in the United States. This station was part of a big business called Weyland Industries. Inside the station, a man was sitting in a room full of computers. He saw a red light on the computer in front of him and jumped up quickly.
"What is it?"
asked one of the other workers. "It's from Satellite 12," he said. "It's a heat photo of Area 14. The other worker did not understand.
"There isn't anything in Area 14," she said.
The man's eyes did not move from the computer.
"There is now."
Alexa Woods, Lex, was climbing an icy mountain in Nepal. She was alone, and the climb was difficult and dangerous. Lex loved it. She loved the cold and the snow. Most of all, she loved to test herself. Suddenly, there was a sound from her coat. Lex's mobile phone.
"Hello," she said into the phone.
"Miss Woods," answered a man's deep voice. "I'm pleased to meet you."
"Who is this?" asked Lex.
"My name is Maxwell Stafford. I work for Weyland Industries. Mr. Weyland wants to meet you and offer you a job. He will pay a lot of money."
Lex worked in the Antarctic. When anybody needed to go somewhere on the ice, she took them. She also worked to save animals in the area. She needed Weyland's money.
"When?"
she asked.
"Tomorrow."
"That's going to be a problem," said Lex. "It will take me a week to get back from here."
As she spoke, Lex continued to climb. She was near the top of the mountain now. She pulled herself onto the top and looked up. A tall man was looking down at her. There was a helicopter behind him. He spoke into his mobile phone.
"I told Mr. Weyland that," he said.
Lex looked at Stafford.
"What did he say?" she asked.
"We don't have a week."
Mexico. 50 kilometers from Mexico City. Hundreds of people were working in the hot sun near a big Aztec pyramid. They were looking for old Aztec things. It was slow work in the Mexican heat. Suddenly, there were excited shouts. Something was happening. Something big. Workers ran to watch Professor Sebastian De Rosa. The Italian was looking into a hole at the bottom of an old Aztec wall.
"I think we are on top of it," he said.
He was excited as he pushed his head and arms into the hole. It was deep and dark inside. He reached out and searched with his hand. It closed around something. But what? Something of the Aztecs? Something important? De Rosa had new ideas about old buildings like the pyramids. Now he was looking for proof.
"What is it, Sebastian?" asked Thomas, one of the other workers. "What did you discover?"
De Rosa pulled himself out of the hole and stood up. He showed the thing in his hands. It wasn't Aztec. It was the top from a bottle of Pepsi. De Rosa was angry, and he could not hide it. But he did not lose all hope.
"We are going to find something here," he told Thomas. I'll go to the bank in Mexico City and get us more money.
I can help with that, said a deep voice. DeRosa looked up and saw a tall man, Maxwell Stafford. He gave a letter to DeRosa. Inside it was money from Mr. Wayland, a lot of money.
We need some of your time, explained Stafford.
A helicopter was flying over the dark, cold sea in the Antarctic. Lex Woods was sleeping inside the helicopter. She woke up and looked at the other passenger. He was a thin, Scottish man, and he was trying to take a photo of himself.
Did I wake you up? I'm sorry. I'm taking photos for my family, he explained.
The man's name was Graham Miller. He looked excited to be there.
Mr. Wayland asked me to come and study something. I don't know what. Do you work for Mr. Wayland? He asked.
No, Lex smiled. I help people find places on the ice.
She looked out of the window. The helicopter was moving towards a ship called the Piper Marrow now. It was an icebreaker, a special kind of ship for the cold waters of the Antarctic. But why were they flying towards it? What was waiting for them on the ship?
Welcome, said Maxwell Stafford.
He was talking to about 20 people in a big room on the Piper Marrow. Lex Woods and Graham Miller were there. Sebastian DeRosa was too.
You probably all have the same question. Why? Why have we put this team together? Now you will find out the answer.
He looked up at the stairs above them.
Mr. Wayland.
Everybody looked up. The owner of Wayland Industries stood at the top of the stairs.
7 days ago, one of my satellites over the Antarctic discovered something, Wayland explained. Heat was coming from one area. We used it to make this computer map.
Everybody looked up at a picture of a big building.
The red lines are walls. The building is very big, continued Wayland. It has got hundreds of rooms. My people tell me that it's a pyramid, but they can't agree about it. One of them says that it is like an Aztec pyramid. Another says that it is Cambodian, and they all say that the sides of the pyramid are Egyptian.
Your people are right, said Sebastian DeRosa.
Which one?
All of them, answered the Italian. Perhaps this is the first pyramid ever.
He was on his feet, excited.
But who built it? Asked Graham Miller.
The first people, said DeRosa. A long time ago, before the Egyptians, the Cambodians or the Aztecs, Antarctica had no ice. People lived here. Maybe these people were the first pyramid builders in the world.
Where is this place on the ice? Lex asked Wayland.
Bouvetoya Island, he answered. But it's not on the ice. It's 600 meters under it.